Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, of course, we wanted to reflect what went on yesterday at Wembley with the Lionesses. And we spoke to our England correspondent, Faye Carruthers, who caught up with some of the girls at the Victory Parade in Trafalgar Square. You'll hear all that and get Faye's take on the tournament. We also chatted to two pioneers of women's football.
We did, yeah.
The two Margarets, Margaret Whitworth, Whit, and Margaret Shepherd, Tiny.
Yes, we had to come up with a system.
Manchester Corinthians players who played at a time when the game was outlawed by the FA for women, and they had some interesting takes on what needs to happen now to capitalise on this brilliant tournament and England's win. We had some clips of the week, Pewter.
They were fun.
From 2010. Yeah. We had a bit of a chat. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Yes, good afternoon.
What a tremendous day it was yesterday.
Very well-deserved, well-coached, really together group. Oh, great achievement.
Absolutely
brilliant. And, it was fantastic. I was telling you on the phone this morning, I didn't celebrate the second goal because I thought, they're going to VAR this. There's something about it didn't look quite right. And then when I look back, it was fine.
Yeah.
But they did VAR it. And that's a shame. The first goal was absolutely brilliant. And Germany's goal, to be fair.
Yeah, both good goals.
Germany was so physical. At one point, I thought they were like Don Revy's Leeds in 1970. They really roughed us up, didn't they?
I thought England matched them when they needed to. You know, they got stuck in as well. If that's the kind of game they wanted, that's what they got.
So. Jill Scott swearing like Wayne Rooney.
Tremendous. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Robin Can saying, I don't think we need a lip reader there.
No.
You're not wrong there.
No,
she had a good tournament. She's a very good commentator.
Yeah,
and Rachel Brown Finnis, I thought, did really well.
Yeah.
She's no Brown Finnis. She's only 28.
There we are.
No, but she did.
Sport listeners.
You have to say, I mean, it got sort of swept aside in the glory of the win, but Pop getting injured in the warm up was a big plus for England.
As Charlie Baker said on Twitter, Glenn McGrath's trod on the ball.
It was.
But sometimes that happens. You know, it could have easily have happened to Beth Mead.
No,
it could have happened to Kira Walsh.
That's football. It
could happen to anybody.
It's always upsetting though when they get injured. I think she was carrying it something anyway. But, but I do understand.
And it was practicing a penalty, wasn't it, that she did it, apparently.
Yeah.
She put a foot through one and
German,
felt the muscle.
It was going to be a penalty.
Well, indeed, yeah.
We all thought it was going to be penalties.
We all thought it was going to be penalties for a while.
But honestly, though, 1-0 up, England, 25 minutes to go, playing lovely football. Germany still dangerous. Couldn't be more exciting. And people are doing the Mexican wave. I mean, honestly, you just despair. I would just, honestly, I'd say that's it. You're banned for life. You can't come to another football match ever again. It's so insulting to the players. It's like, if you can imagine in the theatre or the opera, you started doing that in the middle of a performance.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we're halfway through to be or not to be. Hey!
It's not right, is it? I think it's absolutely wrong. I enjoyed Prince William consoling the German captain by saying, Granny will be disappointed.
Yeah, she won't be on the quiet. Yeah. But no, it was absolutely sensational.
There was some great. There was an iconic moment. Definitely the Nobby Styles moment was Chloe Kelly singing "Sweet Caroline," then running off with the BBC mic. That was great.
It was a proper mic
and
drop.
Serena Wiegmann did what we call a Motti at Cheltenham. You see, she went to leave. She still had her headphones.
Oh yeah,
Motti did that at Cheltenham.
I think give her that in the moment.
we're going to
be finding out how they're celebrating in Holland. You know, I'm sure they're. They're delighted to see her bring it home again, even though it's us this time, yeah, and not to Holland. But she has done an amazing job with that team.
She's a brilliant coach. I mean, there's no question about that. I just wish
into
people,
Miami next, though. Yeah. I think, of course not. Of course not.
I just it's very not. Funny. Don't do that. I just wish people could enjoy it for what it was—a brilliant performance, and not use it as a stick to beat Premier League players or male footballers. I mean, a lot of these girls. Yeah. You know, we hope now these girls will inspire a lot of young women, young girls to go and play football.
Yeah.
But a lot of these girls were inspired by dads who love football.
Of course.
Who passed on their love of football to their daughters. Mm. You know, so I could do with about a little less man bashing myself. But yes. There you go. That's my opinion. But all of it was great.
It is a kind of moment in time. We said this when we sat here, didn't we, after the London Olympics, and you did that word legacy again, and we talked about what will happen now. But a lot of work needs to go into that, doesn't it? You don't want to look back on this in 5 or 6 years. I don't think it will be the case. I think the profile of the players, the fact that they've won the tournament, we've only got to look at Trafalgar Square now to see the interest is there.
It's going to grow and grow. It's a good thing as well.
I thought Wrighty's point was a good one around kickoff times last night. He was talking about some of the big games, making sure people can get there. The thing is, at the moment, the bulk of the money going into the WSL is through TV.
BBC and
so they've
Sky,
been dancing to their tune. But that can change, you know.
It is a shame. 6 o'clock Sunday, and it's not a great time for people, really. You've got school the next day, and if you want kids to go down there, like men's football, though, they've had some amazing quotes. You know, they go around the press sort of asking people what they think of it, and I think Dame Joan Collins apparently said bring it home. They did. I thought Dame Joan preferred National League myself.
She
was such a big fan.
She gets down to play more when she can. Dame Joan, she
honestly,
yeah, there was a lot of the show busy stuff, wasn't
there?
Someone like the Brandy Chastain was on TV. Of course they had to give her a call.
Of course they did,
after Chloe Kelly's celebration. But no, she was really good, really interesting. She talked about their World Cup win being a real catalyst for change in soccer in the States. And, you know, all the signs are exactly the same thing can happen here. We certainly hope so. So, and yes, Shania Twain even weighed in.
What did she say?
Well, she's a bit of swearing, but not like a bit potty mouthed on Shania. You never would have thought that.
Not really? She used to sit behind me at Chelsea. She's worse than Jimmy.
Was she really?
Yeah.
Effing and Jeffing, she was at all the match. Shania, for goodness, just calm down. Kids here. No, sorry, she just, you know, it was one of those kind of rallying call things. But no, she was clearly enjoying it. Enjoying the game.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Understandably, I think, seeing what the Lionesses have achieved over the last month has made many of the players of an earlier vintage very emotional. I mean, you can tell Alex got barely able to speak yesterday.
Well, they were pioneers, weren't they?
Of course. I mean, you can go even further back to an era when that women weren't allowed to play football. And that was certainly the case with the Manchester Corinthians team, who played throughout the 50s, 60s and 70s and obviously got the chance to play the game when the FA finally did relent and allowed women to play a game. They were a very successful side, continued playing, played lots of big games abroad, huge crowds, beating Juventus in tournaments, etc. We touched on this the other week with Margaret Whitworth, one of the former players, as they're looking to officially kind of salute the job they did with a plaque and a sort of permanent marker in Manchester. But we thought we would chat to Margaret Whitworth again and a fellow Margaret Shepherd, another teammate for Manchester Corinthians, see what they've made of this Euro 2022 victory. Good afternoon, Margaret.
Good afternoon.
Now, to differentiate Margaret Shepherd, we understand your nickname was Tiny. Because
correct.
Because you're tall. So, so Margaret, we can't keep saying Margaret, we'll be talking over each other. So Margaret Shepherd is Tiny.
Did you have a nickname?
Yeah, Margaret Whitworth, did you have a nickname in the team?
Yes, they call me Wit.
Wit. Okay.
We were guessing Witto.
Witto. We've got a bit more route one. So for the next few minutes, it's Wit and Tiny. We're going to take you back to your playing days. So Tiny, we'll kick off with you. Where did you watch yesterday?
Well, I actually had to look after my grandchildren. so I sat them down and said, right, you're watching the Women's Euros, whether you like it or not. And it was very, very tense. I kept going out into the garden, coming back in. I looked at the players, and all the players looked as though they knew they were going to win. But at the back of my mind, I was a little bit apprehensive, especially when they equalised just before full time. But thankfully, we brought it home. Absolutely brilliant.
Are your grandkids into football, Tiny, or not?
Yeah, I've got Noah, who is eight. He absolutely adores football. He's got a football at his feet all the time. The twins, they're only six. Finley likes playing football, but Ella, not at the moment. Oh. But I'll change her, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's in the genes, isn't it?
Of course it is.
Yes, loves it.
Yeah.
So, Whit, what about you? Where did you watch it?
I was at home here, where I am, and I was fine when they scored, and then when they scored and equalised, oh, I was panicking. And then extra time came and I had to keep flicking backwards from one stage to the other because I couldn't watch it when they were attacking. It was so nerve-wracking. I was so nervous.
I wanted to ask you, because it was a very physical game and Germany definitely attempted to rough England up. What about when you played? Was football like that for women?
What do you mean, being rough?
Physical, yeah.
Yeah, we used to get a bit of that now and again, yeah. But nothing cynical.
Nothing we couldn't handle.
No, obviously.
So, Tiny, when you kind of went abroad and you played in different parts of the world and sort of played against Juventus and stuff, were they a bit more like that? We always get these ideas that the sort of Italian players are kind of cuter at that kind of thing, you know, the rough stuff.
Yeah, they were.
Were they? I thought you might say that. Yeah.
But, very, very defensive and... very aggressive.
Yeah.
Interesting, though. I was saying earlier in the show that, of course, it's wonderful that these girls are going to inspire a whole generation of women and young girls, but a lot of them were inspired by their dads who loved sport and passed on their love of football to them. and the club itself, your club, was founded, wasn't it, by Percy Ashley so that his daughter could play. It's interesting that, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. But not from our parents. Well, certainly not from my parents.
My dad was hopeless. He didn't know a thing about football.
How did you? Who inspired you then? Somebody must have inspired you.
My uncles and my cousins were all big City fans, and only through them, probably I wouldn't have even been interested. Well, I would have been interested, but they encouraged me even more. So I used to go every week. My dad hadn't a clue about football. My mother used to go because she went with her dad when she was only young. So it's come from the female side, basically. And then it went through to my uncles and cousins. But my dad, not a clue.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's
interesting, isn't it?
Are you both City fans?
Margaret's, no, she's United and City.
Yeah, I thought they might.
So they don't speak sometimes.
I suppose, Tiny, there was a lot of that in the team, wasn't there? I suppose you had, I think maybe you had the odd Stockport fan as well, but you, I mean, it's hard to believe now, possibly if you're playing now, you'd have the chance to play for Manchester United or Manchester City if you wanted
true.
To.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
That would have been absolutely brilliant. Obviously, it was totally different when we played. As you know, we were banned. And plus the fact that you didn't really tell many people that you actually played football. Because there was a stigma attached to women playing football. So it was almost a secret. You kind of did your work, and then at the weekend, you change into a different person and you play football.
Strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is incredible. So, I mean, what you kind of wonder what happens now. There is a feeling that this is going to be a big turning point, and the game, which has grown an awful lot since you guys played, is going to get even bigger and bigger. Are you hopeful that's going to be the case?
Well, I personally, I mean, obviously you saw 80,000 yesterday. 17 million people tuned in. Mm. Then people have got to keep it up, because it's no good saying, oh, yeah, I've been to the game and that's it. Cut off, don't go again. All these girls need supporting, no matter who they play for. You know, you can't sort of run a club having 1,000 fans there every week. It's got to grow. Mm-hmm. And they've got the FA have got to help them out. The clubs, professional clubs, have got to do the bit, because they're very selfish. They don't like the women playing on their grounds. So at the end of the day, you know, the ball's in their court.
Yes, and it's true. And a lot of it as well is, you know, Boris Johnson was saying girls and women will, you know, fill the pitches across Britain. Yeah, but you've got to have coaches.
Yeah.
You've got to have facilities. You know, women who haven't played before need help. They need coaching, don't they? You can't just, yeah, it's a simple game, but you do need to learn the basics.
Well, let's face it, what do they do at school?
Mm. Yeah,
they have sport at school. The boys play football. Sure, they have local football clubs. They all have trainers. So what is wrong with the girls joining in?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good one. I mean, at the moment,
it needs to start at grassroots. It needs to start in schools and local football pitches, local football clubs.
I mean, you need more women as well involved in the coaching.
Yeah. Well, some of that money hopefully will go into to bring on more. I saw Emma Hayes talking about that this morning on TV, the Chelsea coach, to bring more women into coaching to improve the quality of the play. It's interesting, Tiny, Whit was just saying there about the clubs not being keen on their stadiums being used. They will be if they're making plenty of money in the club shop. And it's interesting. Manchester United are playing Spurs at Tottenham's ground for the first game of the season. I think tickets went on sale earlier on today. And I take it that Tottenham have decided to do what they did for Europa League games, which is open the bottom tier, which is still about 40-odd thousand, 30, 40,000 people. And looking at the tickets, it's selling really well. There's not a lot of tickets left. So, you know, if clubs are getting 20, 25,000 people at their
stadiums, they'll soon be keen on it.
Hopefully, on making sure those matches are played there and not at the little satellite grounds nearby.
Well, a perfect example, we went to the Man United Everton game, the one that game in the season that Man United allowed them to play at Old Trafford. And there was 22,500 people went. Now, them 22,500 people won't be riding down the East Lancashire Road to a little sports village at Lee to watch Man United ladies play. Mm. You know, and the ground only holds, I'm not quite sure, about 8,000 at the most. Mm. So you can't have them trailing 12.5 miles from Old Trafford and expect the same amount of support.
No, and you're right. And it's also, it's become a kind of stadium experience now, isn't it? There's an expectation you go along and there's a lot of you there when you watch the match. And I think there's that expectation now. And hopefully the crowds will keep coming. Just to finally, what's the latest? We spoke to you the other week. What's the latest on the plaque? So you guys have got a kind of permanent reminder of the great work you did all those years ago. I know they're raising money for it, aren't they?
Yeah.
Ooh. I think we might have lost Whit. There, we got
Tiny.
She's still there,
so that's good.
Yeah.
We're still wanting the money to come in. I know there's about £600 of local money come in, but obviously we need more. And let's face it, it's for a very important thing. It's to remember the pioneers of women's football.
Yep.
So anybody that's listening,
Well, we're going to put out the link once again so people can donate, because, you know, they wouldn't have been yesterday without you guys. So great to talk to you again. Tiny, we're all the best, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
There we are.
Bye.
Margaret Whitworth, Margaret Shepherd, Tiny. I mean, go and check out Manchester Corinthians. Even if you put it into Wikipedia. I mean, at one point, the girls, they didn't have any facilities at all. They played football and they'd have a wash afterwards in the local pond, in the duck pond, because there was nowhere else for them to have a wash after matches. And as he said, without the work they did, there wouldn't have been what happened at Wembley yesterday.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
I was thinking of buying an NFT of Russo's back heel.
Yes,
good investment.
It won't be cheap, will it? Now, but, we saw John Oliver, Sunderland fan, who gets in touch with the show. He was there to witness the...
Not the American, not that one.
He's a Liverpool British fan, as we know. Okay. But he was there to witness for the first time a referee wearing an Alice band, Darren Bond.
Oh, he looked ridiculous.
The referee wearing an Alice band for the game yesterday.
I've noticed as well in the charity, in the Community Shield rather, and in that game as well, that a lot of the players are sporting very nice suntans. They often do it this time of the year.
Yeah.
He did as well, Alice Band Ref.
Yeah.
And hope they'll
as he's now known. Alice Band Ref. He will be. That's the thing. From now on, you just get Alice Band Ref, Darren Bond.
It's hard enough being a ref for whatever. Mind you, talking of referees, I've got a brand new fitness routine I do during matches. I do the linesman's run.
Okay.
It's inspired by Darren Cann. I do the sideways run up and down. I just keep going up and down my telly along the line. I stop when they stop. I flag. So it's a bit of arm exercise.
Wow. So it's like a...
It's a really great routine.
The assistant referee workout.
Yeah.
It's going to be the next...
You know that sideways run they do?
Could because be
they
never really, Jane Fonda.
The only time they run forwards is when they come onto the pitch, don't they?
Yeah.
Entering into the pitch. Otherwise, they're always running sideways.
Do you want to just show me now?
Yeah, I'll show you.
Andy's going to show me now, and we'll record some of this for you a little bit later on. So mind your head on that speaker. Yeah. Don't wipe yourself out. The last thing we do. So here we are. So you're on the touchline. Oh, yeah. Now you're flagged. There you go. A bit of arm action. Yeah, there. Flag. There's a lot of flagging going on. That you're quite involved, good. Aren't you?
Well, I
know this time.
I think your decision's wrong.
But there does come a point.
I do stop when they go to VAR. I just stand still.
There's that long point where there's that long punter. You have to kind of get on your toes. You can't do that side on. No. You can follow the game side on. But occasionally you've got to sprint.
I do occasional sprint behind the goal for the corners and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you get involved?
It's a good workout.
Do you stand there like...
It's when I want to get my steps up.
Do you kind of talk? You do a bit of a Scott Parker. Do you sort of talk out the corner of your mouth and saying, just been abused by the number six. You might want to have a word with him. That was definitely offside.
And if the wife comes in, I cover up my mouth so nobody can see what I'm saying.
Yeah, of course, that's definitely the best thing to do. So the lino's workout, maybe you've been following that as well.
Do
let us know this afternoon.
Good old Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Honestly, you couldn't be more of an egomaniac, could be, to refer to yourself as the king.
Yeah.
Oh, you know. That's us.
Well, he left 10 minutes before the end of the game.
Mm.
But, you know, we see that all the time, wasn't it? You know, that thing we always say. Why is it that the person always leaves early at the end of the game, says goodbye to a bloke called George?
Yeah.
I think it's quite...
You reckon
so
he did?
He gets up, doesn't he, the bloke, and he goes, cheerio, George. See you next week. See you next fortnight. And then might see you Wednesday.
Everybody
goes,
George.
Yeah, like that, cheers, George.
Yeah.
So I wonder if Cristiano did that when he got up to leave yesterday, 10 minutes. Bye-bye, George. Yeah, cheers, Cristiano.
Yeah, the king is leaving.
See you for the cup match at the weekend.
Seriously, is that a joke to call yourself the king? Just talk about no self-awareness.
I mean, did he? I mean, he put it in a post, didn't he, I suppose.
He tweeted it. Well, I don't know if he does his own tweets. Maybe he doesn't.
I don't know. Okay, quite possibly not.
There's a lot of ambush marketing going on. People saying, oh, congratulations to the Lionesses. You think, well, what's it got to do with you, X company? So I'd like to say H&J would like to congratulate the Lionesses.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had so much to do with it.
Yeah, we did. That's absolutely nothing at all.
Brilliant,
apart from
isn't it?
Very much enjoying it.
You'll see a lot of that, so don't take any notice of it.
Yeah.
In my view. The Mystic Meerkats, they predicted the Lionesses would win.
Did they? So did I. 2-1. Listen back. I'm going to go and find the audio. 2-1 to England in extra time, I said. And did I put any money on it? No, I didn't.
I mean, particularly rich.
I don't know if you saw poor old Nigel Pearce, Bristol City, the other day. The coach broke down. That's not the start you want for the season,
no.
Is it?
Oh,
and they turned up, apparently, in a fleet of taxis.
Oh, no.
The players all arrived.
How did they get on?
They all arriving by cab. Didn't they lose? I think they lost 1-0.
They lost, oh, dear.
Yeah, a bit of a blow, that, isn't it, really?
Yeah, and one thing we were saying also before the programme was that we were thinking ahead to next year's Women's World Cup and thinking, God, I'm going to build on this tremendous momentum. It's so exciting. And of course, it's much harder to win a World Cup than it is a Euros, yeah. You know, that has to be said. And it's going to be exciting. But then, I mean, they've given it to Australia and New Zealand. Which is, of course, fair enough. I mean, they never give the Men's World Cup to Australia and New Zealand for obvious reasons. You've got a final that's going to take place, basically, we worked it out, about 5 or 6 in the morning.
Well, funny enough, I looked at the schedule. We'll talk to Faye about this. She's far more across it than we are. But I went and checked out the schedule. And all the schedules are up for where the games are being played. Mm. And, you know, who will play, like, Group A, Group B, etc.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's no kickoff times.
No.
So I take it that's something they're going to have to deal
because
with.
Because you've got to fit in with America. That's hard.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be kicking off at 10 o'clock at night, local time, really.
No. It's going to
so
be...
it's going to be some it's odd, be quite really difficult to follow. So, I mean... Look, they're perfectly entitled to have it. Of course they are. And you can't begrudge them the tournament. But it is a shame in one sense that, you know... the games won't be on.
It'll be a bit like, remember, the Men's World Cup in Japan, Korea. You know, you have a lot of breakfast kickoffs, maybe for England games, you would think, which we got quite into, didn't we?
Absolutely.
It's a kind of different dynamic, isn't it? We used to go down the CAF at 6 o'clock for the 7 o'clock, then come back and watch the 7 o'clock kickoffs. It was fantastic.
But if you are thinking of writing a piece this week that says, and there have been some already, that, you know, oh, the Premier League's back and it's going to be people shouting at each other, it's going to be aggressive and it's going to be the crowds and we'll, honestly, just don't bother to go. Wait till the WSL opens up and you can see that. I get annoyed at that sort of stuff myself.
Okay.
Changing the subject completely. Well, two things really. I love the idea that Agatha Christie is being made into a drama starring Jodie Comer as Colleen. How do they? I bet Jodie Comer's agent is going, they haven't even asked us.
Yeah. They've also gone quite Route One casting wise.
Emerald Fennell as Rebecca Vardy.
Yeah. We'd all watch it. Let's be honest. It was the court transcript, really, sounds like a winner. A bit of housekeeping. Jake Dennis popped in and saw us last week from the world of Formula E. And we must have sprinkled a bit of stardust on him because he had his first win in London.
Oh, good. Well done to him.
First E-Prix win of the season on Saturday. So well done to him.
Good to him. Good for him.
Yeah, I hope you had a good time if you did go along because it was down at the XL in London, the big event, and apparently went off very well.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. The Talk Sport Clips of the Week.
Well, not really. It's those Clips of the Week pewter, the old dusty box of mini discs. You know the drill by now. Dusted down, digitised by the producer with his... I imagine it's a bit of a collector's item, his old mini disc player.
Yeah.
Quite coveted.
Let's hope it keeps working.
That's right. Otherwise,
we're in trouble.
We've not heard these since February, March 2010, so your guess is as good as ours. But as a curator, he's done a pretty good job.
Yes,
So kick us off.
We wouldn't have put them in the first place if we didn't like them.
Well, no, hopefully not.
Well, I don't think so.
So who's first?
We begin with Adam Brazil on breakfast.
Beautiful. 13 minutes to 10 o'clock. Right, we've been building up. Morning.
That was a classic.
Morning. Yeah. Sticking with Alan, here he is being interrupted by an old Clips of the Week character, the Talk Sports Seal. Remember him?
Yeah.
I think they will sell the best players just out.
Yeah, the TalkSport Seal, great to hear him. Mike Perry was often with the TalkSport Seal, wasn't he?
Yeah. And it's clearly something of a menagerie in the TalkSport studio as Andy Townsend and Mike Parry were interrupted by the TalkSport Cow.
TalkSport Cow, yeah.
I think this is the problem. Everybody expects Berbatov to step up and be a Rooney, and he's not a Rooney.
Well,
Rooney is a totally different player.
Jenny, listen.
He was in there. He often used to pop
that's
in.
That's a bit tenuous. Yeah.
Quite brief. Let's get the news now.
News at 1 with Faye Carruthers.
Good afternoon. I'm Mike Bovell.
We'll play that to Faye later.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
What's next then?
It's Dan Collymore now.
It's been an unbelievable turnaround. Hull City went 1-0 up, but ended up losing the game 4-0.
Well, that is an unbelievable turnaround.
Well, they took that goal away.
Here's Adrian Goldberg and the Moose on early breakfast chatting to a caller.
How many European Cups do you want? Look, the North East is a hotbed of football.
Hello, sorry, Phil.
I'll come back to you in a minute. Hold on a sec, Phil. Let me just sort this out. You wouldn't deny that the North East of England is a hotbed of football.
Well, Newcastle, yeah.
And Middlesbrough and Sunderland.
All right, Sunderland, not Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough, they get barely anybody anymore.
I'm going to put the phone down.
I don't blame him.
Upset the callers.
Let's head back to Adam Brazil now.
And can the Arsenal pull off a surprise win tonight? Would you start with Sol Combo?
I do like a Sol Combo. It's fantastic. What a great band they were.
Like
played all the hits. Bit of Otis Redding they'd kick off with. This is the caller to Mike Parry and Andy Townsend.
Exactly.
Mick is in Leighton. Mike, Mick, look, let's have a chat with Mick. Mick, good afternoon.
Yeah,
all right, I'm on talk spot.
Yeah, yes, on, you Mick. Are, Mick. Yeah.
All right, mate.
Yeah,
how
go
you
on,
doing,
Mick?
All right.
Yeah, I'm in Leighton. I'm a West Ham boy. Yeah.
Right.
I'll keep for it. Some polecats. Yeah. What do you want to know?
Well, I think you've told us
Central
all we really.
Casting,
isn't all we
it,
really need. God bless your governor and no mistakes. A real tough. He gave me a sovereign. He did.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
What do you want to know? I take it I know in Mike Parry had gone down a particular, gone like some sort of ferret. Polecat hole that day that Andy Townsend couldn't get him out of, and that's why they were asking for more information. What's next?
It's Ronnie Irani on Breakfast, and good luck getting your head around this.
I lived at one stage about 5 minutes from home.
Okay, well that's quite a troubling story, and we don't necessarily want to go there, Ronnie. And finally, it's Mike Parry, whose recollection was as good as ever.
I remember quite recently, right, when I say recently, 2 years ago, an aeroplane, I think, flying over Japan. No, it was coming back from India because yes. The girl, what's her name, Goldsmith. Girl,
Jemima?
Yeah, Jemima Goldsmith, who married the cricketing guy. You know, what was his name?
She married Imran Khan.
Imran Khan, that's him. Right, now she was on the plane and so was Brian, the leader of...
That's brilliant, isn't it?
Brian who?
Why didn't he get a quiz show doing that? Because if you won like £100 for every time you said, you know, Jemima, she married Imran Khan. And so and I think Andy Townsend officially was owed about £400 there. And a trip to Torremolinos for two. And a canteen of cutlery.
Incredible.
And his and hers heated rollers.
Good stuff.
So there we are. There was some Clips of the Week pewter. For you from back in 2010. We'll have the Clips of the Month. You can vote on them a bit later this week. And, of course, fresh batch of Clips of the Week for you on Friday. That TalkSport seal clip, Steve from Wincham, still listening, said, I sent that one in. Great to hear it all these years
well
ago.
Done, Steve.
He got the credit. Still paying out, Steve. You're still getting the credit for that one.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
I think about 7,000 people squeezed into Trafalgar Square earlier on. A lot of them were kind of queuing for ages and ages to get in there to see the Lionesses parade the trophy and be interviewed on the stage. After that, they caught up with our very own Faye Carruthers, our England correspondent, and she joins us now. Hi, Faye.
Hey, Paul. Hi, Andy.
Wow, I mean, the voice is sounding remarkably good.
Only 4 hours sleep, I heard, on breakfast.
I know. It's been on its last legs for about 4 days now, and I'm waiting for it to go. It's going to go when I go on holiday. That's
I was
what's
expecting
happen.
An Alan Brazil, one of those. my throat. Yeah, I was expecting one. Not in a Scottish accent. That would have been weird. But
I mean, that would have been very weird.
But, you know, look, the casual football fans who have suddenly, I wouldn't say jumped on the bandwagon, but I've enjoyed what the girls have been doing over the last month and in the build-up to it. I mean, you know, we're all pleased, and so many people in Trafalgar Square, but for those of you that have followed the women's game and championed the women's
great.
game, it must be just absolutely amazing what happened yesterday.
It genuinely, I've cried more in the past 2 days than I have done all year. I'm not really one for too much emotion in that way, but honestly, it's given me chills on so many occasions because there are so many fantastic champions of women's football in this arena. And it's all credit to them that we're even at this point in the first place. And what I love about this group of players is that they never forget the generation that came before them and the generation before that and so on and so forth. And when I spoke to Lucy Bronze in the tunnel last night and I said to her, it's 56 years and a day since England won a major trophy. And she said, yeah, and how mental is it that women weren't even allowed to play football back then?
Mm.
And that just sums up this, and I hate using this word and I'm so sorry to do it, but there is no other one. It sums up the journey. Mm. It's been an incredible journey. It really has. And so many people's hard work and dedication has got us to this point. And hopefully we can stop having conversations about girls struggling to be able to play football at school because they're told that they have to play netball or hockey or something different. And we'll get to a point where girls can do whatever they want to do, you know, and there's a lot of inspiration from these girls, but we've got to make sure now that the momentum continues and investment is put into the game.
You caught up with a few of the girls. We're going to hear from Rachel Daly, I think. First, what did she have to say?
Oh, well, I asked her about whether or not she ever thought she'd be singing River Deep Mountain High on a stage in front of 7,000 people in Trafalgar Square.
We do it after every game in the change rooms. It goes off in the change rooms. Obviously, we win and we sing that song with me leading it, but I'll never do it in front of anyone. And then last night, a few drinks deep, Leah was like, got it up, got it on the stage and gave me the microphone. And I was like, oh no. So then I did it last night. And then she just looked at me and she was like, you'll get legend status if you do this. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it. And I was like, listen, I might never be in this moment again. Like, express your personality, do what the team wants, and everyone loved it. So
this is the thing, we all know your personality, we want everybody else to know it as well. And I just spoke to Millie about the snow angels that you were making in the confetti, which had me in bits. I was pitch side watching you. It was hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think, you know, that's something that Serena's instilled in us as well, to show our character and our personality, and that's how you get the best out of players.
This is life changing though, you know that. I know it's been an emotional year and a half for you in particular, but how important have your family been with this? And you know, we've talked about your dad watching you, he'd have loved that.
Yeah, I mean, he had the best seat in the house. Last time he was at Wembley, he cried during the anthem, so that got me a little bit emotional before the game. But no, he would have had the best seat in the house. He would have been so proud, and you know, he wouldn't have wanted anything more than for us to go out there and win this. But my family have been amazing. They're my rocks. They've been there every game and supporting me near and far. And yeah, I owe it all to them. Everything I do is for them.
Rachel Daly. Brilliant. It would be nice if Tina Turner had popped down earlier on today.
You've got to know these girls pretty well, though, haven't you?
Yeah, they're an incredible group. I can't even begin to explain how privileged I felt being in the tunnel last night when they were all coming up and hugging me and fist bumping. Literally, they were just grabbing hold of anybody that they know that's kind of been on this journey and watched them from a distance. They are so grateful to everybody who's covered the women's game for such a long time, and to see them have that huge release, because obviously throughout the tournament that they've been going game by game, you know, all the usual kind of cliches that you get from the players throughout the tournament, not wanting to get ahead of themselves. And it really felt as if last night that huge weight was lifted off their shoulders, and that you were seeing, you know, what I know that they are when I see them in training and just before we go on interview, before they go into interview mode. And they're such a cracking group of players, that they're great fun to be around, and they get on really well. It's genuine, you know. When I get asked that stock question every time I come on air, don't I? What's the mood like in camp? It genuinely is great fun because they all get on so well. And actually, Rachel Daly mentioned Millie Bright there, her best friend. They've been together through so much, and they were having an absolute ball yesterday. And I spoke to Millie and started by asking her to try and sum up her feelings as a European champion.
Just overwhelmed by all the support, and yeah, just still realising that we've won, and yeah, best in Europe.
You've been incredible from start to finish in this tournament, but having been in tournaments with England in the past, we've spoken over many years, how does this moment compare?
Yeah, like we've always said, obviously we set out to want to win the tournament, and we didn't really speak about that throughout. We just spoke about game by game, and that was us keeping our mentality on the opponent in front of us, but for us our journey is just beginning. this is our foundation now and we build on this, and yeah, we want to keep lifting silverware, but we know that we have to keep improving. And yes, we are the best in Europe, but as always, we always want to improve. And yeah, I think everyone's eager to get back at it, ready for next year.
How important is it to carry this momentum forward? We've seen it before, everyone rides a high and then the momentum gets lost. What do we do next?
It's massive, and you know, if we want to continue going in this direction and we want women's football to be as big as it is now and if not bigger, then you know, we have to keep getting the crowds in WSL and other leagues, and it can't just be a one-off thing.
Yeah, that is the million-dollar question, Faye, isn't it, really? How to build on this momentum. And, you know, it is a very difficult thing to do. No one quite knows it's going to happen like this. And when it does, everybody's got to move quickly.
I think it will, because I think this momentum that we got to at this point was a lot to do with the WSL in the last couple of years, especially last season when the coverage was so good on BBC and on Sky. So I think it's going in that direction.
Yeah, it really is. It's something we've been talking about for a long time. I've been at many women's sport conferences where, you know, we've been trying to encourage brands to get on board with women's sport and telling them the potential that women's sport has. And, you know, they've all jumped on board on this tournament. And I think finally brands are realising the potential of who they can reach with this. And it shouldn't always be about the commercial side of it, obviously, but unfortunately that's the world we live in, isn't it? And without the commercial support, you don't get the funding, you don't get the investment, you don't get the marketing, etc., etc. So, you know, to have all these big brands on board when they're successful, that can only drive the game forward. And what it needs to then do is drip down into grassroots level, because that's where the money is needed to make sure that the next generation of Lionesses have the best opportunity possible to be able to follow in these girls' footsteps.
You had a chat with Frank Kirby as well. It was a difficult tournament for me. She got a great goal against Northern Ireland, and there was little flashes, glimpses of what she can do. And if you watch her play for Chelsea or for England, you know what she's capable of. It didn't
she
quite
played
happen.
Well against Sweden.
Yeah,
very
she did
well.
Play. Didn't
played
quite
brilliantly.
Happen for her. Yeah, that was a big game of the tournament. But she could have been the player of the tournament. She is that good. But what did she have to say?
Oh, she was incredible, as she always is. And I started off talking to her about Serena Wiegmann's influence on the dressing room.
Everyone knows their roles, everyone knows their responsibilities, everyone's programmed to work for one another. I always said, you know, at international level, you have to do your job and a half, because, you know, you're against so many amazing players. And same as yesterday, you know, Germany were a quality side and we knew we had to work hard and do what we can to get the win. And I think, you know, she's really brought that togetherness to the team.
Bearing in mind the journey that you've had with the Lionesses and at Chelsea as well, what does this moment mean to you?
It's, you know, something, you know, like I said, that I've dreamed about since I was younger, is winning a trophy with England and coming so close previously. It's been tough. But yeah, I mean, to finally do it now and to have a gold medal, it's incredible.
You know that I always mention Adrian Durham to you. You know he's your number one biggest fan. Have you got a message to him?
No, always just thank you so much for your support. I saw a nice picture of him yesterday with his Frank Kirby top on, so he looked like he had a great time. And yeah, I'm just happy that we could win this and that he can continue pushing the women's game and continue to talk about it. And of course, you know, it's great when he's such a massive fan of mine. And yeah, it's great to have his support, so thank you so much.
It's Frank Kirby. When's the next game, Faye, for England?
So there are two games coming up, one away to Austria and then at Stoke in September against Luxembourg. So very much looking forward to that. The girls will have a bit of a rest and spend some time with their families. And then, of course, the WSL season kicks off on the 10th of September as well. So we're not that far away from that, 6 weeks for them to prepare. But they're going to have time for a little bit of reflection, because they're definitely going to need that. I said on the radio earlier when Leah Williamson had come on and done an interview with us, and when the tunnel was quiet afterwards, she just came past holding the trophy and she just went, "Faye, I can't believe this. Can you believe this?" I went, "No, I can't believe this." She went, "I don't think I'm ever going to believe this." And she genuinely was just, you know, and I think we all kind of felt like that. Oh, by the way, Rachel Daly let me kiss her medal. She went, "Have some of this." And I was like, oh, loving life. So I've touched the trophy, I've kissed the medal, and I'm happy. Adrian Durham doing Freed from Desire moves at Box Park as well made my night incredible.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. I'll do it all again tomorrow with Charlie. And you'll be back on Wednesday.
I will, yeah.
Marvellous. Okay, well, do hope you can join us from 1 tomorrow for the show. If not, podcast is always available around 4. know what a railable is.
I need to.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.